Hello to a community that I love and believe in. I really do. I so hope you are enjoying spring and getting this extra sunshine on your face every day. You are taking advantage of that vitamin D, right? Now is the time. Before we get into today's episode, I wanted to tell you all about the actual School of Doza, and here's why I think I would love for you to enroll. I get to teach live classes. I get to be your teacher every single week, two times, all right? This is great because I love teaching, and it's my chance to really get into it. I create exclusive classes just for this class and the students in it, which come from all over the country. I want you to join. Tuition starts at $10 a month, right? Think about what you could spend $10 on. You can invest in your health, right? So sign up. I hope to see you in class. Now, today's episode is all about habits that are destroying your health. Because if no one else is going to tell you this, I'm going to tell you this, all right? Yes, this is tough love, Nurse Doze away, but it's because I really want you to hear the facts that I care so deeply about, and I want you to course correct, all right? These are the lifestyle changes that you're about to implement. They're going to get you feeling better later down the road. Once you're aware, you can really start to change things. Are you ready? Take notes. Class is in session. The first habit that is destroying your health is you staying up late at night. Sleep plays a critical, and I'm saying critical, role in your brain and how it functions. You've learned about this as a kid. Your body is designed to sleep. The importance of sleep is so profound that short-term consequences of sleep interruption can cause you, this is studies now, a response of increased pain, a reduced quality of life, emotional distress, mood disorders, cognitive memory and performance deficits. Those are short-term consequences of sleep disruption. Long-term sleep disruption can lead to hypertension, cardiovascular disease, weight-related issues, metabolic syndrome, type 2 diabetes, and colorectal cancer. That's just from lack of sleep. The first thing that you need to work on if you ever want to be truly healthy, you have to work on your sleep. It is a non-negotiable at this point. People stay up too late, and I'm included. I've stayed up late my whole life pretty much, okay? I know when I should be going to bed. When I go to bed, I feel better the next day. And when I sleep, I have the ability to recalibrate all my hormones. I can reduce inflammation in my body. My brain gets a chance to slow down its brain waves. Think about alpha waves in your brain all day long from you being awake. When you go to sleep at night, you make delta waves. Right? And so if you think about the frequency that your brain runs at all day long, you're doing a lot. You're thinking a lot. You're stressed out. You're overstimulated. You're caffeinated. You know, you're to the point where you have a nervous breakdown because your body can't handle the amount of stimulation and stress that you are creating in your life. And the one thing that you could honestly do for your health that your body was designed to do, that I want you to do more of, is sleep. But think about this. 70 million people in the United States right now have an issue with their sleep, a chronic issue with their sleep, which means, like, I guess that I fall in that line too. I stay up too late. And then when you finally get to sleep, does this ever happen to you? You can't stay asleep. I've always asked sleep when it comes to my intake with clients. That's one of the things that I think is the most important thing when it comes to your health. And when I ask people their sleep, I ask them this question. I say, okay, how's your sleep? The usual response is, it's okay. Just okay. How much do you sleep over the course of a lifetime if you're sleeping about 6 to 8 hours a day, supposedly? Right? That's a third of your day. It's a fourth of your day sometimes, right? Like, you're saying, what am I doing over the course of a lifetime for my body that's so good that it can help me live a long life? It's sleep. But yet we sleep in an environment where we have Wi-Fi routers, we have lights on in the background, maybe there's rustling, you know, maybe there's a light on somewhere. I mean, think about your nighttime environment. It should be dark. It should be dark. It should be still, right? And I think about a practice of sleep routine of leading up to that stillness, you know, like, because you need darkness. I hate to break it to you, but you need darkness the way you need sunlight. And if you get good sleep at night, it's because you got sunlight earlier in the day that translated into things your body could do at night to help you sleep better and make the melatonin, the antioxidant, the neurotransmitter that we really only make during sleep. And you think about this, the body was designed to help us recover. And late nights watching TV, being on our phone, which is probably my biggest issue. Let's be honest, it's probably your biggest issue too. It's how we found each other, right? And if you're always on your phone, I pray that you're, you know, listening to at least this podcast and you know you're wanting to, you know, better yourself. But let's be honest, we're probably not doing the best thing at night watching something on our phone, right? It's overstimulating. And that just the science behind it is that stimulation leads to increased cortisol at night. The later you stay up with more lights, the more screen time, the more TV, the more laptop, the more cortisol. Cortisol being the stress hormone. Cortisol suppresses your melatonin at night when you sleep. In fact, actually, if you're overstimulated, you have anxiety, you know, maybe you're in flight or fight mode all the time, you will never get a good night's rest. Your body and your nervous system will never be able to do it. So then I think, okay, how can I reverse this? Well, stop looking at your phone at night. Is that out of the question? I mean, I really don't. Do I need to write this in a prescription? Betty cannot look at her phone 1 hour before she goes to bed. Okay, I will be happy to write that in email to every single one of the listeners here. If that's what it takes for you to print it out, put it next to your bed so you can look at it at night and say, you know what? I have a prescription for me not looking at my phone right before I go to bed at night. My doctor, my practitioner felt it was in my best interest for my overall health for me not to look at my phone an hour before I go to bed. But this doctor, this nurse practitioner, you know, told me, why don't you unplug the Wi-Fi router in the same room at the same time while you go to bed? Better yet, on the prescription that says don't look at my phone before I go to bed, it also says in the prescription, put your phone on airplane mode. Because apparently there's a study that shows that Wi-Fi disrupts melatonin production while you sleep at night. But yet we put our cell phone right next to our bed at night while we go to sleep after we watched it for an hour or two, maybe 3 hours, let's be honest, right? And then we get up right in the morning. What's the first thing you do? What is the first thing you do in the morning when you get up? You look at your phone because it's right there. I put my phone downstairs. I don't even have it in my room. It's away from me. Literally, like, I'm sorry. I need my brain for this podcast. I need my brain to talk to clients, right? Do you need your brain for anything important? Then I think you should emphasize sleep, because guess what sleep does to your brain? It makes it better. That's the first thing I talked about here. Like, sleep plays a critical role in brain function, and we're destroying it with those tiny little things that we put in our pockets called our phones. These brilliant things that could give us all the wonderful information in the world, all the education and knowledge and power that we deserve and we should be able to achieve in life. But yet we're looking at cat videos and we're looking at dumb fart jokes on TikTok because why? Because we're stressed out all day and we want something to laugh at. I get it. But I'm just telling you, go to bed. Another habit that is destroying your health is alcohol. Alcohol, let me just get into it. It's a toxin. Okay? You know and I know, let's be honest. You and I know that alcohol is not good for you. At one point in your life, was there ever someone that said, you will be better off if you start drinking alcohol? Did a father, did an uncle, did a brother, did a mom, did a coach, did a teacher, did a friend, did a sibling, did a spouse, a loved one, did anyone ever come to you in life at one point and say, your life will get incredibly great once you start drinking alcohol? And the more that you drink, the life will get better. No one ever said that to you. But yet alcohol is served and celebrated anytime life occurs. Right? Like, there's bars that are open till 2 a.m. And the first thing I talked about is staying up late at night. I can tell you where I was, you know, 20 years ago. I was up late at night drinking alcohol, right? And I was destroying my brain. The studies show on MRIs that alcohol causes your brain cells to shrink. every time you consume alcohol. And with chronic use, it deteriorates the brain. That's what they're seeing. And if you want to make this a little bit further, let's go into alcohol and its effects on the liver, because you know I'm all about the liver. If you drink enough alcohol, we know it can destroy your liver, right? That's called cirrhosis of the liver. You've also learned that at a very young age because you were told you can only have so much alcohol, because you know this, let's be honest. You were told you can drink alcohol, it's completely legal, right? But if you drink too much of it, it's going to destroy your liver. We know this, you know this, I know this, alcoholics know this, okay? But what it does to the liver besides cause it to turn calcified, okay? It causes you to have diabetes of the liver on top of having a cirrhotic liver. Think about this term, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. We've heard this term, right? We've heard of alcoholic fatty liver disease. There's non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, which 1 in 4 U.S. adults have. And most people don't know it because all the websites, all the so-called expert medical websites say fatty liver disease is asymptomatic, which means there's no symptoms. Okay, that's not true at all. The symptoms are you're drinking alcohol every night. That's a symptom of upcoming fatty liver disease. But here's what's crazy about it. Alcohol is a double-edged sword. Let's take beer, for example. Let's say you drink beer. Beer is alcohol, which will damage the liver, but then the sugar, the high fructose corn syrup and the sugar alcohol will also go into the liver and cause non-alcoholic fatty liver disease as well, on top of the alcoholic fatty liver disease. I don't have to show you the 1,000 studies that will show you alcohol destroys the liver, but I will show you the other 1,000 studies that show you that sugar also destroys the liver. It's bad enough you're staying up late at night, but when you drink alcohol like I was 20 years ago, I was slowly killing my liver and my brain at the same time. And when I wake up the next day, you call it hungover, I call it my brain being destroyed and I can't remember where I put my keys. I can't remember where I put my phone, right? Like, the alcohol effects are not beneficial at all. I mean, other than topical rubbing alcohol used as an antiseptic, tell me the benefits of alcohol. I mean, I'll listen. You can make a podcast about it. I'll be the first to subscribe. There's no medicinal benefit from alcohol consumption. And the second you start consuming alcohol, you start destroying your liver. You start causing your body to turn into an insulin-resistant individual who will have type 2 diabetes, heart disease, dementia, and cancer. But yet this is legal. And yet this is celebrated. I mean, I celebrated this when I graduated from college. I took a shot. I have a picture of it. I took a shot with my best friend sitting right across from me right now and my dad. Okay, we're holding up a shot of I don't probably whiskey or something. Celebrating the good news that I graduated, that we graduated, and our lives are beginning. Let's celebrate it with some alcohol by destroying my liver and destroying my brain. That's a great start to life. I remember looking at the photos of myself when I was younger, and I'll show you them too one day. My befores and afters, I had a belly. Like, I was about 45 pounds heavier from drinking alcohol and staying up late at night. And I had a fatty liver. I didn't know it because I didn't go to the doctor. I'm 22 years old, right? And then I was also insulin resistant. How do I not know, right? And I was eating fast food. Okay, so let's bring that to our next habit that is really destroying your health. Fast food. Now, fast food is something that's never going away. It's really quite fascinating. If you think about one of the most legally damaging things that's on the market that will destroy your health the second you consume it, it's fast food. And yet if I go down the street here, I will see at least 20 fast food restaurants, so-called quote-unquote restaurants, that are somehow producing something called food. You and I both know that's not real chicken. You and I both know that's not real beef. And if you don't know, here are the studies when it comes to your precious fast food. Chick-fil-A recently came out saying that they will no longer be able to keep sourcing the same chicken that they have been sourcing for years. They can't because supply chains are just too demand. Everyone wants Chick-fil-A. We got to give them what they want. So what they did is they said, we're going to start using chickens that actually are being used with antibiotics. Because before we had to use chickens that didn't use antibiotics. Now we're going to have to use chickens that use antibiotics. When you eat Chick-fil-A in the future, you will be consuming chicken that was injected with antibiotics. You'll be looking at your chicken sandwich, your chicken nuggets, and there'll be a chicken sitting on your plate that was so processed that it has medicine in it, actually. It has antibiotics inside of it. They're not antibiotics for you, by the way. These are antibiotics for chickens, not for humans, because that's very clear in the press release here. It says, the great news is that Chick-fil-A customers don't have to worry about this because the chickens are not going to have human antibiotics. It is going to have chicken antibiotics that are designed for chickens. You'll be okay. Your gut, your microbiome, you'll be fine. Your immune system will be okay with the more Chick-fil-A you consume because it's grilled chicken, not breaded, right? It's still cooked in oil. It's still processed. I have a Chick-fil-A fry from 4 years ago that I found in the back of my car that my kids were eating. It has not rotted in 4 years. It has not molded in 4 years. What is in that potato? What is sprayed on that potato? What was injected into that potato? Because I know they're telling us they're injecting the chickens. Chickens that have been injected with antibiotics also are injected with growth hormones. The same chickens that are, you know, being sourced in your chicken sandwich. These chickens that are also injected with the antibiotics are also injected with growth hormones. And these growth hormones make the chicken breasts big. Because Americans want big chicken breasts, right? We want a big chicken breast sandwich. We don't want the little chickens. We want the big chicken breasts, right? For the big chicken tenders and the chicken fingers, which I didn't know chickens have fingers. But like, you imagine that these chickens have breasts that are so big that they walk around on the farm, if they're allowed to actually walk around because it's so crowded. If they walk around, their beaks fall down and they land on their beaks because their chicken breasts are so big they can't walk and they fall on their beaks. And yet we feed these things to our kids. I'm guilty of it. I mean, my kids have eaten Chick-fil-A. How can kids go by in childhood without eating Chick-fil-A? Because if I'm not doing it, you know there's a grandparent or an uncle that's doing it. I mean, come on. And years ago in 2016, there was yoga mat chemicals found in Subway sandwiches. Yoga mat chemicals. And there was a report that Taco Bell meat had wood pulp in it. It's not meat. It's not ground beef. Are you kidding? You and I both know that. It's not real. It's none of it's real. Like, I remember there's this thing called pink slime. Pink slime is when you take the whatever's left on the bone right after they've gone through the processor, which is a horrific process, and whatever's left on the bone for meat, they scrape it off, they mush it up, they spray it with ammonia, and it turns into this like pink slime. It looks like yogurt, and this pink slime that comes from the factory is then mashed up and turned into things like chicken nuggets and burgers and chicken patties, and it's served to public school kids because it's served in the public school system. I was talking about this 10 years ago when I was giving the same talk 10 years ago. Nothing's changed. In fact, it's gotten worse. The ingredients that are being put into the chickens, to the cows, to our fish, we're eating that and consuming it, and you think it's out of convenience. You really do. You say, okay, I'm going to spend $5 on this because that's all I can afford. My can of sardines over there is $3. That will feed 2 to 3 people, I promise you, and it's healthy fat. An avocado is less than a dollar, okay? And an apple, I know, is a dollar. If I bought an apple, an avocado, and a can of sardines, I could split it with someone else. We could get by for the day on $7, $8. I would just need water and sunlight. Seriously. I'm telling you right, I know organic's tough. Nothing's organic as it seems. They pay for those labels on the food. They pay top dollar to have organic certified on there when there's so many of their small mom and pop farms that can't afford the $20,000, $40,000 certified, you know, sticker on there. So they say we're organic because we are regenerative and we care about what we feed our animals and we don't inject them with things. Those are where I want to buy it from. Vital Farms gives you eggs and sells you eggs, and inside the carton, they have a picture of the hens that laid the eggs. Like, you can see where your food came from, and it talks about it, it has a name. They're like, it tells you what it ate, what it likes to do during the day. You have to care about what you're putting in your bodies because it's destroying your bodies. If you're a diabetic, you will spend at least $12,000 a year out of your pocket on medical expenses because you keep eating Chick-fil-A, Subway, and drinking sodas. And I'm telling you right now, it doesn't have to be that way. You can vote with your dollar. You can change your decisions. You can not go eat fast food. Just bring and prep your own food at home, please. And bring healthy snacks. I mean, I brought a can of sardines. I mean, if you don't like them, that's fine. But the avocados and apples and maybe some nuts, right? Like, that's fine. A common habit I also see out there that is destroying your health is working out too much. Yeah, over-exercising. And I'm talking to all the people out there that's in the gym 6-7 days a week. You're listening to it right now as you're working out. Thank you. However, see if your gym has a sauna. See if your gym has a cool-down station where you can go foam roll or you can go do some yoga, right? Maybe you can go do some legs on the wall. Did you think about that today? Because how tired are your muscles right now? And how strained is that bicep, right? Maybe your back's been really tough and it's been almost a year since you've been to the chiropractor. And you remember those rotator cuff exercises that you used to do all the time that you don't do anymore in the gym because it looks dumb doing it in the middle of the gym? Well, how's your shoulder feeling today? You keep going back out there because you're not happy enough with sitting at home. You have to get out and do something, which I'm fine with. I want you to move around. I want you to get up and exercise as much as you want. But you and I both know that there's a limit. Science shows that if you lift weights, and guys, you need to listen to this. If you lift weights, you will increase your testosterone by lifting weights up to about 45 minutes. Anything past that, your testosterone starts to drop. Think about that. Spending 2 hours in the gym 6-7 days a week working on back one day, working on legs the other, working on arms, all that. You're destroying your health. You're killing your testosterone. You're destroying your muscles. You're injuring them, right? What does that do to your recovery and your detox? How much recovery are you incorporating? Because working out is great for the mind. We know it increases blood cells and brain cells, and it keeps you living longer. But let's talk about what working out actually physically does to the body. It increases inflammation. It has micro tears in your muscles every time you work out. You know those little soreness that you get? They said, oh, it's the lactic acid building up. It's micro tears in your muscles, and you can feel it. You and I both know when you did that one too many rep, and you're like, oh, crap, and I feel it too. And you're like, okay, it's strained. But then what do? You keep working out, right? Why? Because I have to work out. This is for my sanity. This is for my mental well-being. I get it. But how many out there are doing yoga on a daily basis? I have a couple people I know that do it on a daily basis, but they don't do power vinyasa yoga every single morning in a heated yoga class. They might be doing legs on the wall, belly breathing, upside down, right before they go to bed every night. I do yoga every day. It saves my life. And the thing is, there'll be times that I skip the gym and I go straight to the yoga class. Why? Because I'm not hurting. My back's not in pain. My muscles are not as sore as they used to be. But guess what? Let's say I run all the time, which I used to. For all you runners out there who run every single day or every other day, I know you do, because I treat all of y'all. I adjust all of y'all. I treat all your muscle pain. You're causing yourself to be a diabetic. If you work out too hard for long endurance periods of time, cardio causes you to be a diabetic. Think about this. Increased inflammation and blood sugar will occur as the longer you work out. And I say cardio. The longer you run, the more blood sugar is released from your liver, and the more blood sugar that then has to be recirculated into the body, into the liver, after you use it. This is all the science that shows us. Adrenaline is the driving factor in all this. It's not the fact that you ate anything, because we've measured blood sugar readings on athletes. We've had a person run an Ironman. They ran a blood glucose reader. Guess what? Their blood sugar was low when the race started, and then it was higher when the race ended, it doubled in the amount of blood sugar when the person finished the Ironman competition. Why would an Ironman participant need increased blood sugar throughout the race? Well, the body's never going to run out of blood sugar production. Keep this in mind. You will never run out of glucose. You will always be able to release it from either your liver, your muscles, your fat cells, or your brain. So think about an Ironman participant. They don't have a lot of fat, so they're releasing the blood sugar from their liver, their muscles, or their brain. At hour 7 or 8, they've depleted their storage, but all their blood sugar is still in their system because it's giving them energy, right? That's what happens throughout the day. And then what does the person after the Ironman do? They go eat. Their blood sugar is already high. They go and eat afterwards, and now their blood sugar is around 180, 200, maybe 250 because they're really hungry, right? And then they go to bed. Where does all that blood sugar go? It goes right back into the liver. Crazy. So you think about working out too much. Yes, it will boost your testosterone, but it also boosts your blood sugar. How much blood sugar do you actually need? Because if your blood sugar goes too high, you have bad news coming next because your blood sugar drops and that wrecks your whole body. Call it inflammation. I call it disease. You got to control your blood sugar. And if you don't know how to do it, you have to, one, stop eating fast food. Stop eating sugar late at night, right? That wrecks your blood sugar. And then if you're working out all the time, you know, one of my favorite supplements to take is resveratrol. All right? We have it in our mitochondria. All right, mitochondria, resveratrol, especially for anyone who's trying to help with blood sugar and insulin, you take that. Maybe do it before you go work out. What would that look like, controlling your insulin, your blood sugar during your working out? You'd be keto the whole workout. You'd be running ketosis. That's awesome, right? If you can handle it. I don't suggest that for everyone, but just think about it. There's a lot of cool things you can do once you kind of start controlling your metabolism better. Now, when it comes to things wrecking your health, this is the last one, but this is probably the most important. All right, I'm doing it right now. I am wrecking my health right now. Okay, I'm destroying my health by doing this right now. Can anyone guess what I'm doing? I'm sitting. Sitting destroys your health. And the longer you sit, the sicker you become. Schools, work sites, homes, public spaces are physically engineered and socially arranged in ways that minimize regular movement and muscular activity. This is straight from a scientific article. We are now designed to sit all day. You know what sitting does to us? It destroys our health. I cannot simplify this anymore. My kids right now are sitting in their public school system right now. And they're sitting down right now being told you have to sit still. And pay attention. That's how you'll get ahead in class. My kids know that's not the way. They already know that. They have me as a dad, right? They're going to play outside today. We're going to go play baseball. We're going to go jump around. We're going to go talk about God, right? We're going to go do all the wonderful things out there that they're not learning in the school system because that's what parents are supposed to do. They're supposed to go outside and play. But now I'm talking to you as Nurse Doza, and I'm saying, go out and play. Quit sitting. If you're sitting 8-10 hours behind a desk, what are you waiting for? Go outside and play. Schedule it in your calendar. If you're one of those people that has to be OCD about it, perfect. Schedule in your calendar a 15-minute break. Go outside, do some jumping jacks if you can. Go walk around. Go call your mom, right? Like, just do it while you're standing. In fact, you want to be one of those biohackers, buy a treadmill, right? Instead of a standing desk. Put the treadmill underneath the standing desk. I don't care, right? If you sit longer, it destroys your hamstrings. It destroys your hip flexors. It destroys your IT band. Okay, if you're a runner, that's no winnow. Think about the cyclists. All of y'all sit all day. Your backs are horrible. We know it, and your posture sucks. You sit all day. What does that do to your neck when you're looking at your phone all day? Chiropractors are never going to go out of business because thanks to cell phones, all of us have horrible posture, including myself. Sitting is the new smoking. And if you have high blood pressure right now, the studies show that sitting will raise your blood pressure. So the longer you sit, the higher your blood pressure goes. It's not that you are deficient in beta blockers, and that's the reason why your blood pressure is really high. No, 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 no. The reason your blood pressure is high is because you sit at a desk for 8 hours a day, and you never get up. You have your lunch there. You have 4 cups of coffee there. You respond to stressful emails at your desk all day, and you literally want to pull your hair out at your desk all day. Do you listen to music at your desk? Do you have a picture of the mountains like I do at my desk? Do you have fluorescent lights sitting in front of you like I do at my desk? Or do you have an infrared panel sitting at your desk like I do sometimes while I'm working? I put blue blockers on while I work late at night on my laptop because the blue screens, I know, destroy my cortisol and my melatonin, and it keeps me from getting a good night's rest while I sit too long. I sit. You sit. I sit all day. Humans were not designed to sit. The people who live in the blue zones, they don't have furniture. They sit on the ground. You want to have a stronger core strength, less back pain. You want to live to 100, start eating all your meals while sitting on the ground and learn how to get up without using your arms. How was that? Y'all appreciate that? I basically was talking to myself the entire time, okay? Y'all are mirrors to me. I love each and every one of y'all. I told y'all all that because I was looking at myself 20 years ago, and I could see myself screaming for help, and I was depressed. I couldn't figure it out. It wasn't until I stopped drinking alcohol. It wasn't until I stopped eating fast food. It wasn't until I really stopped the sodas. Because I've changed my health and my life every single year for the last 14 years of my life. I'm 42 years old. I'm the healthiest I've ever been. I've had to work on it every single day. Like it's a non-negotiable. Like I'm telling someone else that this is how you do it. I practice what I preach. But I am also a human, which means I will fail from time to time. So will you. You're human. But that's okay, because guess what? I know you're going to turn it around. Every day's a new day. If you have the opportunity to get on your feet when you get up in the morning and start your day off the way you want to, you are a success. If you have the opportunity to go outside today, you are a success. If you have the opportunity to go to your best friend and tell them thank you for everything you've done, you are a success. Don't destroy it with stupid things that don't mean much to us. The alcohol, the late nights, the sacrifices that you make in work are not as important as you. When you take care of yourself, this world is better. Don't wait until someone comes along and tells you it's too late. Do something about it now. I mean, if you want my help, I'm here for consults. I have supplements. I mean, go to nursedoza.com. All those links that are in there are essentially all the steps that I've done my whole life. It's helped me along the way. It will help you. And when you finally find something that works, please let me know. It means everything to me, honestly. So thank you so much for everything. I hope this has helped. Until next time, classes.